we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a clipping from the Maidstone, Tunbridge, Sevenoaks and Westerham Advertiser, read by Peter Donaldson.
Stuffed crocodile with one leg missing, otherwise excellent condition. Swap for set of bagpipes.
Thanks to Desmond North of East Peckham in Kent for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Oliver Pritchard. Facing them on my left, Linda Smith, and welcoming back to the show, Alan Corran. Before we start round one, here's a piece from the Islington Chronicle.
Daniel Bickerton of Islington has won the course prize for the BTEC Diploma in Horticulture at Capel Manor College. Capel Manor is one of the country's leading specialist colleges for those interested in working with plants and animals. During Daniel's work placement, he worked at Arsenal Football Club.
Thanks to Marion Hall from Islington for spotting that. Andy, whose chip off the old block bought the whole block?
Oh, is it? It's not John Major.
No.
John Prescott. I'm not going to hang around here all night. The children
been
are going
in South Africa all week.
It's John Prescott.
Oh, yeah.
And little Prescott has bought a row of Monopoly houses in Hull. He has gone to Hull in a handcart. And he's bought these houses for $5,000. And, well, he is alleged to have been part of a consortium, which is alleged to have paid less than the market value of these. As a result of which, everybody's gone through John Prescott's dustbins. Brave men.
I think the shocking aspect of this story, though, which I think he really does need to answer questions over, is that does his son still live at home? I think he does, doesn't he? Which explains it, because you imagine how desperate they must be getting now. If your son comes home and says, "Ooh, I'm involved in a dodgy deal, but don't worry, there's 20 houses." You're not going to worry, are you? You're going to want him out. As long as he moves into one of those, I don't care.
The Deputy Prime Minister has accused his enemies of stealing the very rubbish from his dustbins. Hull police have issued descriptions of four suspects who've been spotting throwing old eggshells and bits of newspaper on garden paths before making their getaway in a great big truck with a grinder on the back. Oliver, who have become Tony's enemy within?
Is this the pop singers, the opinion formers and the thinkers of the pop world have decided that New Labour is no good anymore? They say they look dreadful. You can't tell whether they're girls or boys. And however hard you listen, you can't make out their policies.
This is the news that Britain's pop stars are disillusioned with Tony Blair and have said so in the latest issue of the NME magazine. Brit pop stars are also said to be disturbed by Mr. Blair's public pronouncements on drugs. So they'd be even more worried if they knew he wasn't on drugs at all and meant every word of what he said. 2 points to Oliver. Linda, where mightn't they be playing I Spy for much longer?
Ah, ha, ha. I Spy, as in I Spy Strangers.
It is.
This is about the modernisation of the House of Commons. They're going to knock through into a through lounge, downstairs toilet, sauna. Very nice. No, and nothing so sensible as that, actually. They're going to get rid of all these sort of funny things they say and do, like, oh, if you're bringing up a point of order, you have to hold an opera hat. And if you're asking a question, you have to hold a brown paper envelope full of money. And all these sort of strange to-dos, really. Oh, and also this thing of when... something that's been particularly upsetting the Blair babes is that whenever they're obviously reading a prepared question, the opposition will shout, "Reading!" because they've never seen it before. Reading, I think it's the work of the devil and no good will come of it. So that's what that's about, I reckon.
This is the report which recommends the abolition of various arcane House of Commons rituals. One proposal is to abolish the cry, "I spy strangers." This was heard as recently as last May when shell-shocked Tory MPs returned after the election and found they didn't recognise anyone. Alan, a piece of music for you. Alan, who wouldn't be seen peeking at the lens?
Seen peeking at the lens? It's peeking. A peeking joke. This is not about pattern and murder. I've been away for a long time.
Oh, I know.
About the Chinese and the lens.
Yes.
No?
You know, what?
Robin Cook wouldn't be photographed with a Chinese dissident.
He's been photographed with everything else, often with his trousers. Is that so? Yes. Well, I understand Robin Cook. Having taken time off sitting by the pond holding his fishing rod, was called in. Was called in for a photo shoot and decided this would be very bad for his image.
I heard that that Robin Cook, it was nothing to do with politics, he just didn't want to stand next to this guy because he made him look short.
Robin Cook failed to have his picture taken with a Chinese dissident who in turn had criticised Britain's policy towards Beijing after the event. Wei Jin-shen called the Foreign Secretary two-faced, which is a pretty strong insult if your face looks like Robin Cook's. So the scores at the end of round one are Andy and Oliver have 3 points, Linda and Alan have leapt into the lead with 6. And we start round two with a correction from a Texas newspaper spotted in the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Important. On page 8, line 27 in our Easy Skydiving book, the words state zip code should read pull ripcord.
Thanks to Derek Russell of York for that. Andy, how might there be fewer in a royal we?
Ah, yes. Well, this is all about the radical plans to modernise the royal family. There's apparently this huge division, fistfights between Prince Philip and Prince Charles about, you know, Prince Charles wants to do Trooping of the Colour in cardigans and singing the theme song from the Teletubbies, and Prince Philip desperately wants to cling to the old ways. And there have been a few rather laughable articles this week reminding us all that in his time, Prince Philip was a great modernizer. You know, he introduced walkie-talkies to Buckingham Palace, apparently. That's how radical he was.
Sort of cocoa tins with a bit of string between them.
Yeah.
It's amazing that the family got together and called it the Way Ahead Group, didn't they? And they discussed it. I mean, do you have a Way Ahead Group when you're deciding where to go for your holidays, Oliver?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, yes. And many of my advisers and courtiers come in too to discuss it. I feel a bit sorry for the royal family about this, all this downsizing. I mean, even poor old Prince Charles has to have keyhole surgery. Can't have the real thing.
And only on one knee as
yeah.
well.
The Queen has also let it be known she doesn't expect people to bow or curtsy as she hates sycophants. This news came too late for Lord St. John of Worsley, whose last meeting with the Queen landed him in hospital with repetitive strain injury to the lower spine. She says that she and Prince Philip are always perfectly happy with a handshake, which, considering they've been married for more than 50 years, is perfect. Oliver, why has 007 got a new number?
Ah, yes. I don't know what the number is, but directory inquiries do. You can ring MI5 now and split on anybody you'd like and probably order a minicab. And a pizza.
No, the number actually is 939,000, because I wrote it down inside my matchbook and then swallowed it. And the point, Ollie, is that you can't actually just phone up. You've got to say in the paper, you've got to be either a spy or a terrorist. You can't be an ordinary member of the public. You ring up and it says, MI5 speaking, Tracy, how may I help you? And then a voice comes on and says, if you are a terrorist, press 1. Now, if you are a spy, press 2. It really is. We can't phone them. And it's 930-9000. Or for those dialing out of London.
If it's busy, you'll be put on hold listening to King's College Chapel Choir, bringing back happy memories for all the KGB agents calling in. But you can save the price of a phone call and just have a quick word down the table lamp. Linda, here's a piece of music for you to listen to.
I hope it's home from work we go.
Linda, whose bars were no bar to an income?
Oh, dear. That music confused me. I thought we've already had the Robin Cook question. Yes, that man. Of course, yes,
Graham
the man.
Graham Esten, his name is.
Was his name Graham Esten? Well, yeah. There you are. There's this man in a prison up north somewhere who, well, I say he's in a prison, but he's sort of in the prison, but he goes out to work as an advertising executive. So he spends, you know, his nights with men in stripy shirts doing lots of drugs, and then he spends his days with men in stripy shirts doing lots of drugs. So, and they think it's too soft. They say he should be doing porridge, not muesli.
It's just him, isn't it? And, I mean, he's going to be very unpopular with the other inmates, isn't he? Because he's going to get back, you know, after his day at the office. Some bloke's going to be slopping out, and he's going to say, "Oh, the day I've had."
2 points, Linda. Alan, who isn't much of a buddy to his pedigree chum?
Well, this has been unfortunate because it is fraught with possible innuendo, which I shall try to sidestep. One member of the Clinton family is being castrated. He's a chocolate Labrador. This has come as bad news to Paula Jones, who's hoping to go on to better things. But he's Bill Clinton's lapdog, and it's not a lap you want to spend a lot of time in, I have to tell you. And he's up for the snip.
And Doris Day is supporting it. I cannot understand that.
Like anybody else.
Is a vet?
Well, why is she interfering in the matter of Clinton's dog? But she thinks it's a good idea.
But it's not just... She just goes around America neutering dogs. That's what she does. That is it. I mean, dogs... If you say the name Doris Day in a front room in America, the dog is under the sofa before you can...
So that's why she sings, "Once I Had a Secret Love."
As she does it, she sings "Que sera, sera" to me.
Mr. Clinton explained the situation as sensitively as he could to his young daughter, Chelsea, saying that Buddy, the dog, was going to lose what Daddy keeps in his pants. Now she's under the impression that the poor dog is having his brain removed. And the scores at the end of round two are Andy and Oliver 7, but Linda and Alan hanging on in there with 10 points. We start round three with an item spotted by M.G. Moorey of Wantage.
This afternoon, we'll be meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptised at both ends.
Andy, whose Nobel Prize is a Brucey bonus?
This is the ghost of John Major returning to our national pages because his son was in the papers for finding an attractive girlfriend. As far as I could ascertain. And she's a hostess. I'm sounding like a very old fogey. She's a hostess on a television programme, I believe. Presumably something that Bruce Forsyth does.
Regularly.
But obviously, I mean, we can see that in fact this girl is bedazzled by the John Major charm. I think she's working through the boy to get to the dad.
How could you possibly resist a man who ran away from the circus to become an accountant?
But the programme was called The Time is Right. It was all about when to join EMU, I think.
John Major was said to be shocked when he heard that Emma is dating James for his charm, wit and personality. The colour instantly drained into his face as he demanded a blood test. Mr. Major was intrigued, though, when he learnt that Emma was a hostess on The Price is Right, a game where you guess how much it takes to buy a toaster or a caravan or a front bench spokesman on overseas trade. Oliver, your piece of music. Oliver, who was wheeled out as a bad example?
Yeah. Well, this is Jeremy.
Oh, yes, Jeremy Clarkson. Yes.
Apparently, someone has complained that because when he's driving very fast cars on Top Gear, he's got a tendency to go, "Oh wow, this baby can fly," and stuff like that. That he is encouraging macho illegal driving, And so I think they're going to make him tootle about in a little Robin Reliant in the next series.
Just call the programme First Gear.
Yeah. They're going to call the programme, be careful.
Exactly. Linda, who responded no thanks to AO?
Oh, yeah, outrageous thing. At this conference about children's television, international conference, Johnny Foreigner has turned down our Teletubbies. Can you believe it? On the grounds that they don't understand it. Well, in true British fashion, we'll just have to play it slower and louder. Well, I don't know. It's a lot of middle-class panic about the Teletubbies, all these sort of awful people with their terrible kids called Mezzanine and Flymo or whatever, who think... We think they shouldn't be watching the Teletubbies. They should be reading a pop-up version of, you know, One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich or something. But it's ridiculous. I was brought up on Bill and Ben. I don't walk around going, oh, blob-a-lob. Though I do quite enjoy a little weed.
One of the criticisms I thought was ridiculous, some American woman said that it was a very dangerous programme because it doesn't teach two-year-olds that there's evil in the world. She said, but it gives them an unrealistic picture. The baby's always laughing, always smiling. And what does she want to happen, you know? Does she want, you know, during the big hugs, you know, for Tinky Winky to pull his mask off and say, don't trust us, kids, there's a jungle out there? Really?
I think they want it sort of remixed by Quentin Tarantino or something.
Yeah. Mr. Green, Mr. Pink, Mr. Purple. This was at the World Children's TV Summit where foreign buyers rejected the Teletubby. However, the USA is very happy to take the flowerpot men, but only with subtitles. The expression flubadub is translated as, is this what you wanted, Mr. President? Alan, how does chemistry bring women together?
There's a lot of stuff about smell in America, and women like the smell of cucumber and licorice. Not the sight of cucumbers or the colour of licorice. They like the smell of both of them. And we are all communicating through our noses, too.
It's about putting the scent of armpit on the upper lip of certain women.
I was coming to that.
Very long way from cucumber to armpit. Anyway, they put the scent of armpit, and this affects their cycle. What it's all about.
Affects their cycle? What a delicate little fellow you are.
I thought you were going to say get some going
Clarkson
like a coke hammer, but you didn't.
Even if their cycle's in the hallway at the time.
But it's the same study, and it's exactly the same stuff. It's about pheromonic transfer.
I've been doing it wrong. I've been using an aubergine for years, and I can see now.
Somewhere buried in all that is the correct answer, which is research which proves for the first time the existence of pheromones in human beings. Scent from the armpits was mixed with alcohol and then rubbed onto women's lips, enabling scientists to run a completely different experiment at the same time, which is studying just how horrible it would be to kiss Paul Gascoigne. And so the scores at the end of round three are Andy and Oliver 12, but Linda and Alan still just in the lead with 14 points. And before we start the final round, here's a piece from the Daily Mail.
Just 6 weeks after her second hip replacement operation, at the grand age of 97, the Queen Mother is planning her first day out from recuperation, and I can reveal she hopes to be racing at Sandown Park on Friday.
Patricia Clark of Sussex for that. Andy, your piece of music. Andy, which old man took to sailing like a duck to water?
See this face? This is my I've no idea face.
I'm going to scribble here, I don't know either.
Right. I'm sure Alan knows.
No, Linda knows.
Could this be Homo erectus?
Yeah. Steady. That always sounds more exciting than it actually is.
It's
Stone Age men have been found to be a lot handier in a boat than we thought they might be, and they went whipping round, you know, the Pacific in sort of early Club 1830 holidays, really.
Could make quite a good film, couldn't it, with a sort of a raft with an ape man on it and hitting a iceberg, say? and then you know, all the apes in first class behaving disgracefully, and all the apes steerage
snogging while they hit the iceberg.
Most impressively, it seems that our ape-like ancestors were capable of building boats, navigating rivers, and may even have visited Australia. They had small brains, low brows, jutting eyebrows, and communicated only in grunts. So when Noel and Liam Gallagher turned up there last week, you knew history was repeating itself. Oliver, whose throne reputation was thrown?
Throne reputation. Queen Elizabeth I.
Yes.
They're now saying that she wasn't a virgin, she was quite a fun person. This allegation being made by a film director who's making a film about the sinking of the Armada in which the first class passengers behaved disgracefully. And Queen Elizabeth is having an affair with a lovely young man in steerage called the Earl of Leicester.
According to Dr. David Starkey of the LSE, Elizabeth flirted incessantly with Sir William Pickering and the Earl of Leicester and was widely rumoured to have had sex with Essex. But we have to remember that it was a much smaller county then. Her behaviour is explained by two causes. One is that her father beheaded her mother, Anne Boleyn, for incest and adultery. Quite a Christmas that turned out to be. The other is that not only was she actually a man, but equipped with a false beard, she became William Shakespeare. So, any courtier taking up her offer of the complete works was in for more than he bargained for. Linda, where are they kicking the ball into ballet?
Sunderland Football Club started, well, when I say playing Prokofiev, I don't mean, you know, they've just bought this new striker from Moscow Dynamo, but they've started playing Prokofiev, Romeo and Juliet. They've got a band and everything before the match that plays this music, bursts of classical music, and all the crowd sort of go mad and start conducting this classical music. So there they are with the Romeo and Juliet. It's a marvellous sort of heartwarming thing. I wonder if the classical music buffs will start behaving like football fans. You know, Pavarotti comes on stage and everyone goes, "You fat bastard, you fat bastard, you ate all the pies." Quite sweet, really, wouldn't it?
Yes, Sunderland Football Club, their players now take the field to the strains of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, played on the pitch by a chamber ensemble in Tails. The England cricket team has a more informal scheme, whereby if Mike Atherton survives the first over, everybody immediately sings the Hallelujah chorus.
They've got a similar system at Crystal Palace, except there they actually have ballet dancers who play for Palace.
And the fans shout out, "Who's the Tosker in the black?"
Alan, what might ensure that we go out with a bang?
It's not this asteroid.
It is.
Oh, 2028. I was working it out at the age I will be when it happens and whether I would be able to run or whether I'd bother. I should be 90 when this thing, which is coming to... It is describing an orbit which is going to coincide with Earth. But it may not happen, because it is assumed that by 2028 we will have found a way of either running faster or firing something at it to make it change its mind.
Meanwhile, try not to worry, really.
I must check my insurance when I get home. I don't think I went for the asteroid clause.
You lie awake at night a lot, don't you?
I do. It's funny, because that and the cats on the bins are the two big issues that really...
The news that a giant asteroid is on a possible collision course with our planet is thought to be about a mile across and could cause untold damage if it lands in London or untold improvements if it hits Stevenage. It'll also help in dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses. On answering the door, we'll be able to assure them that we're very well aware that the end is nigh. In fact, it's already marked down in our Philofaxes, so would they please bog off? Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
I'm just trying to work out how old I'll be in 2028 now. He's got me at it. Well, I am indebted to Mr. Ray Howes from Aylesbury, who sent me this. outwardly grim story, but it's an example of the blame culture, as I believe it's called. Thousands of rail passengers faced delays this week because of dogs on the line. 10 hounds from the West Kent Hunt were electrocuted when they tried to cross the line in pursuit of a fox. Hunt sources blamed the fox for running the wrong way.
Oliver.
This one's from The Sun. Bank staff thought a white stick and dark glasses were a disguise when Derek Barry, 29, stole £7,500 in Vallejo, California, but realised he was blind when he asked the way out.
Linda.
I've got a cutting here from Sue Mays of Oxfordshire, sent in something from The Independent. Jail for drug granny of Tunbridge Wells. A grandmother who ran a multi-million pound drugs empire that stretched across southern England was jailed for 15 years yesterday. Before her arrest, police had watched her for months. Oh.
I wouldn't read that
Sorry.
One out.
Sorry, this is the curse of the cutting, I'm afraid.
It's not
okay.
It doesn't
right.
matter.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
No. Nothing matters. A bloody asteroid coming.
Exactly. Oh, I'm only here on a scheme. Here we go. Right. A grandmother who ran a multi-million drugs empire that stretched across southern England was jailed for 15 years yesterday. Before her arrest, police had watched her for moths. Also got a really short one because I thought I might have trouble with that. Got a cutting from The Independent on Sunday. Police in Eastbourne brought forward a drugs raid after realising their tip-off to a local paper would be published before the raid took place.
Alan.
Well, as you know, Simon, I've been away in South Africa the past 3 weeks, but it was worth going because I brought back a cutting from the Cape Argus. And it says, a Port Elizabeth man charged with maliciously damaging an exhibit at the Schwarzenegg Wax Museum apologised to the court and said he'd acted on impulse, because he'd always wondered what Adolf Hitler would have looked like without his moustache.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Andy and Oliver have a brave 14 points, but Linda and Alan are this week's winners with 20 points. Now to end, here's a cutting from the Japan Times sent in by Ken Lotary of London.
Tokyo commuter Katsuo Katogoru caused havoc on a crowded tube train when his underpants suddenly inflated. The rubber underwear was made by Katsuo himself and designed to inflate to 30 times their original size in the event of a tidal wave. It goes on, there's more. I am terrified of water and death by drowning is my greatest fear, said Katsuo, aged 48. Unfortunately, I set them off accidentally while looking for a boiled sweet. They were crushing everybody in the carriage until a passenger stabbed them with a pencil.
That's all for this week. Until next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Andy Hamilton, Oliver Pritchett, Linda Smith and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Hugh Rycroft with Ian Pattinson. The producer was John Rolfe.